wonderful things that these people have prepared for us. I thank you that they take the time to do this because they care and they love you. And I ask that you open our ears and eyes to see and hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Like I said to Denver, what I love about this book is I really can reread it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it's short enough, and then you get a little bit more each time. So I was going through, because Linda has taught us that review is good. And I'm good with that. So I thought, I went through, as David was getting his teeth drilled out, the preface I put down, what she was saying was the church, which is us, are protected by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I really like this lesson. I think it's the middle chapter, maybe, that I thought was so really, really good. And then chapter one, the revelation of the blood and how it came, I had written that we are in the last days. The blood of Jesus is the church's weapon in these last days.
Amen.
And that's really what we have to lean on.
Amen.
But, you know, we say the cross, bring us to the cross, but it's the blood. Mm-hmm. The blood associated with the cross.
Yes.
And we're going to learn tonight what the church has done with the blood. So, and then the second chapter, she really emphasized that we are to use the name of Jesus when we call upon the blood of Jesus. That is important. The blood of Jesus will surpass anything that we have ever known, and was to be shared with other people. And you know, maybe that is. Sometimes I think if I came up with something to say when I meet people, like whether it's a cashier or something, that I would just say it enough, I would become comfortable with saying it. Because it's hard to talk to people about Christ when there's a line of people behind you. And, I mean, they have their job to do, you know, and even if it's, you know, five words that you might say that might stick with them to let them know that you're thinking of them. Because we don't have a lot of time with a lot of the people we meet in our life. We do with families, and I think that's an excellent place to start. But when you get to be in your 70s, it's like they really, people have kind of formed their ideas, and it's going to take a lot to move them. You know, my oldest brother, who I dearly love, who has the cancer, who took the COVID shot, and he was he went into biology in college. So, you know, Morehead State University, it was all this, even back then, it was, you know, Darwinism and all that. And next time I see him, I'm going to ask him, because I need to know, I think, is, Joe, did you lay your faith down somewhere? Did you ever lay it down? You know, because that's one of the worst things you can do, is to lay down your faith. Because if he hasn't laid it down, that was one of the comforts I got from my mom and dad, even though they weren't attending church anymore because they lived at three different places. I know they never laid their faith down.
Yeah.
You know, they always took us to church. I mean, for the first 21 years, we went to church. But in the end, I know my mom and dad would not have laid their faith down. But you wonder about these people who have gone to college, to these liberal colleges and stuff. Have they made conscious decisions to lay their faith down? And I don't, maybe this book will help me with that, but I don't know that you can come back from that. It's tough.
Hebrews says you can't.
I know. And, but you know, my brother lives one of the kindest, most gentle, most generous lives I've ever seen anybody live, you know, but it doesn't matter. if you've laid your faith down. So, but he's just an amazing human being. So, anyhow, well, in chapter 3, which, let's see, I've got to figure out. Let's see, we're doing 3, 4, and 5 this time, right? Yeah. I think this was the chapter, maybe it was 4 that I really liked. You know, it was the first one. I love her term old-timers. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that because I think that says so very much. Shirley, would you read the paragraph on 17 that starts with, in relating this, Dr. Hagen commented?
In relating this, Dr. Hagen commented, every benefit and blessing we possess in our redemption, including complete and total victory over Satan, is based on Jesus and his triumph over Satan at the cross. We have victory over Satan because of Jesus' shed blood. The old timers in Pentecost understood the truth about the blood of Jesus. They would plead the blood against the devil. That's scriptural.
We never hear that in today's churches. You know, and that, as I've read this, did you guys get the idea that that's like the central thing and it's been taken out?
When I was little, we went to a little Baptist church, and I would imagine every other Sunday we sang, "There's Power in the Blood."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the roof would raise. That old hymn just, but I haven't heard that for years.
Mm-mm.
But they've taken, so many churches have taken the hymnals.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And those hymnals were filled with scripturally based songs.
Yes. And they put everything on the overhead. All these New Age songs.
Well, some of them really are New Age.
Yeah, and some of them are very good.
Good.
Very heartfelt.
Songs.
Yes.
But I love that Power in the Blood.
Yes.
I mean, there's just...
But if you asked a 14-year-old that has gone to church,
they wouldn't even know
what you were talking about, I don't think.
You remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Methodist were known for years for their fabulous hymnal.
Oh, I know that.
I mean, they really were.
They did, yes.
And what does she tell us in here?
Overheads.
Mm-hmm. They rewrote their hymnals and took all the songs with the blood out of it.
Well, I think there's has been, the idea of what church is, I think, has been rewritten from the Church of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there is no more idea that the body of believers is the church. When someone says, "Where do you go to church?"
Mm-hmm.
We are the church.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just in a building. But to me, the church is supposed to be composed of all of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives.
Yes.
And that's what makes it all work. Because there's a part, I love where he says, you know, now, one part of the body might not be as exposed as the other, but it's as important. So you can't say the leg isn't as important
right.
as the eye. The mouth, yeah, a lot of those, like teachers and those, they are out front more. But the other gifts, which he gives, which most people don't even think about, okay, now, what gift has he given me? What seems to be, it comes up that I have an opportunity to do, you know, whatever. And I think that the modern day church now makes you think there's something wrong when you talk about gifts.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately go to something that someone has told them, oh, it's always tongues. Oh, it's going to be tongues. You know, and then most of them have no idea even what that
Mm-mm.
is. What the Bible says that
right.
is.
Yes, you're right about that.
Mm-hmm. and it has defeated and it has weakened, and it, in my opinion.
And it's put fear in people?
Yes. That never has ever made, thank you, Lord, that's never made any sense to me.
Well, do you all remember taking sermon notes in church for confirmation? 3 years. And you, I mean, if you missed church, you had to go to another service of something to make it up.
Uh-huh.
Or they wouldn't confirm you. And when you have to, you listen and you write it down and you turn it in and you get it back. You know, that pastor knew if we were listening.
Of course.
You know, but now, if you ask most people, most young people what confirmation was, they wouldn't even know.
But the trouble, even the flip side of that is, the pastor's message is not worth taking notes about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a feel-good,
yes,
jolly old, let's whitewash the news and let me tell you my life story. And everybody have a great week. God is love. There's not hardly any meat to take notes about.
No.
I had heard someone say the moment they signed the 901c3, they cut the head of Jesus off the church. Oh, yeah.
501c3.
Yeah, 501c3. They cut the head of Jesus off the church and it's replaced with the government now.
Dollar sign.
Because of taxes. What? Who cares if I give money to the church and we give taxes if you leave us alone?
Yeah.
Let us teach. Because they, that's just it. That's why they were controlling everybody and able to shut the churches down, is because they're owned. They have to, they have now, say, you can't teach this or that, or we're going to take away your tax status or whatever.
I love that Newsom has to pay a $1.35 million fine. Of course, it's government money. You know it is. But it's still a slap in his face. And he, but you're right, Denver. It's, I don't know, it's scary what's happened in our churches. And, you know, like we were saying at the table, God probably is done with us.
Yeah, he may be.
I think the old timers, they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They taught the children to read from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They read every night, you know. Mm-hmm. They read as a family. They read in the morning. It might only be two or three verses, but they did it.
Yeah.
So
my dad went into high school with a Bible verse on every chalkboard in the morning when he came in. Every class had a Bible verse on it.
Wow. And that was right here in
Dexter,
Kansas.
Dexter, Kansas.
Wow.
He graduated from Dexter High School. Every day.
That's amazing.
That's how far we've come.
Yeah, we've dropped like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have. What'd you guys think about Mrs. Newsom? Am I saying her name right?
Wow.
Newsom. That missionary.
She,
wasn't she something?
I would like to know her.
I would love to know her. I mean, she knew what was going on, that's for sure. And she certainly hasn't been taking, what was that drug you guys slowed her down?
Korig.
Yeah. I feel bad I gave that to patients now. I should have told them. This is going to make you really drowsy. But, no, she was really good. And, I mean, she saw miracles every day in her life.
Yes.
I mean, it's that Bible verse, you receive not because you ask not, mm-hmm. you know?
I love that, though. It is true. Someone else's faith can feed your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened to me when we first became acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
And your faith fed mine. So much. I mean, it was so exciting. And we don't really think about that, I don't think.
A lot of times we don't even know it.
You know.
I mean, we don't know that we...
You know, that we, our faith is fed.
Like,
I mean, I guess, like, when Travis was talking about the ground opening up, we need to try it and get more people, you know, those people whose faith is so strong. Those are the people you need to be, you know.
It makes you a better person.
It just makes you, you know.
And the converse is true as well.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I befriended somebody through school, who was leading a totally godless life and thought I would have an impact on her. And I mean, I tried.
Yes.
But I could never even get the woman to quit swearing, let alone having sex with anybody she wanted, man or woman.
I think those are things that...
It breaks your heart.
Times. Yeah, I think, okay, Lord, I said what I can. It's up to you. Do your thing, whatever. Because I'm not sure we can convince, you know, on that, things like that.
Well, and, you know, I loved when she said in here on page 13 in the middle of the page, God is not willing that we should be overcome even once. And I guess I had never thought of that. And that gives me a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
God doesn't ever want Satan to overcome me.
No.
And he always causes us to triumph in Christ, not one failure as we obey and trust.
That's good.
And he started out the human race. I mean, he designed families so that we could support each other. You know, that's what families are all about.
Well, I think the thing that we don't realize is he wants us to be his family.
Yes.
He loves us as a family. Mm-hmm. He has the angels he created
for us,
and that's his heavenly family. But he wanted more when he made us. And when we understand that he made us because he wanted fellowship with us,
mm-hmm.
he wants us to talk to him, he wants us to ask him for help. And if we get into real dire straits and get in trouble, he wants us to cry out to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if our own child was in, we'd rush right to him. He'll rush right to us. Someone told me one time, the minute you open your mouth, he rushes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how a parent does.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not standing back and saying, aha, gotcha. If he wanted to get us, he would destroy the old earth and we'd be gone.
Hundreds of years ago.
He wants to save us and to be the father that we need.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be those children that cling to him. I really believe you can't ask him enough.
Mm-hmm.
You can't include him too much. I know as a parent you can't.
No, you can't.
But we don't understand that family part. We put him as this aloof,
mm-hmm.
pie in the sky that we can grab and we need. No, he's not Santa Claus in the clouds. He's a father.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I think of him, and I say call him Father God, that helps me remember. But the family thing, once you become a parent yourself, you can understand a little bit how he feels.
Mm-hmm. Some small portion.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And just think, for him, it's millions and millions of times
more.
Harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we fail over and over. We know that. So,
but
and we
like,
disappoint him.
But it's like when our own children fail.
Mm-hmm.
We might not like it, but we don't love them any less.
No.
We want them to do better. We want them to get up and go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Travis, would you read the last paragraph on page 13, please?
13?
Yeah. No, 18, I'm sorry.
All right.
I needed my glasses on.
The one in Revelation 12.
Yes, okay. Please.
In Revelation 12:11, we are told that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Sin, temptation, sickness, disease, everything that comes from Satan is included in that. The blood overcame him. When anything is overcome, it has no more power. This book says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, not merely by your word or their word, by your testimony and what God has done, coupled with your faith in the blood, is the overcoming accomplished. No matter in what way the enemy comes, whether it in discouragement, temptation, sickness, or any other way, he is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
I mean, that's how you bring people to Christ, is to share that, don't you think? It's... we've strayed. I don't know. This book really puts it in neon lights for me, I think, because I don't even recognize America and how we should be living. Do you guys?
No.
I mean, every day you read something that just horrifies you. And even if only half of it's true, it's still horrific.
Mm.
You know, because we know we can't believe the media, but... It is crazy. And it goes back to when she was talking about how she would pray over her children's cars and over them before they'd go out in the morning. And her children all survived childhood, you know.
Well, they expected that. You know, that one.
Came back.
That boy left and came back in. He said, what kind of mother are you?
That's right.
You didn't pray over me before you sent me out?
That was great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know that those things obviously mean a lot. You know, my grandkids, I know they get tired of me harping on them, but someday, I hope that's all going to come back to them, you know?
It will. And
I also want my family to know when I'm gone, I'm happy.
Absolutely.
I don't want them to be sad for me, you know, because that's where we're headed. And that's, I mean, that our life should reflect that.
Absolutely.
So, but I think there's so much mourning and stuff in a funeral. And, you know, if you know they're Christians,
it should be joy.
It should be. When my mother-in-law died, I thought they were going to get up and dance on the tables. Because, I mean, she'd been ready to die for 45 years. So it was like, okay, she finally made it. It was crazy. But, I mean, nobody cried because that was her goal. And I know she's with Christ.
Amen.
She was a wonderful Christian woman, but she didn't follow necessarily what the disciples, where you earn your keep and you keep going, you know.
She was just ready.
She just sat down and never got up. Well, of course your body's going to go to hell, so to speak. But her spirit didn't. I know that. Her soul didn't. But you're not healthy when you sit down for 45 years. It's insane. And she didn't have to sit down.
No.
And I don't think I'll ever get over that as long as I live. I can't imagine somebody just sitting down. But there are people that
give up.
That do that, you know. And you see them in home health, I'll tell you.
That's like they said at Carol Murphy's funeral. It was a total celebration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Music said total celebration.
Yeah. I remember that.
That's awesome. And it should be.
It's natural, I think, that we weep. Or that we're sad.
Yes.
I mean, the human side of us. We're, but there's also the joy of knowing that they crossed the Jordan.
Mm-hmm. The trouble is if you go to a funeral where you're not sure.
Right.
Yes.
And I've had...
That's a tough one to go to.
And especially I've had some of the, like, pastor at church, like one time Steve said, you know, he got asked, and he said, they didn't know, and he didn't know the family. They just asked him to do the service. And, you know, he said, what do you say?
You just talk about Jesus.
You know what I mean? He said, there's nothing, because he said, you're just unsure of, you know, of what you can't, of
or
what to say.
Or you're pretty sure.
Right. You know, you don't, nobody knows. So, and that's
tough.
You know. But.
Yeah. And, you know, if that had been Billy Brim's son, they would know.
Yes.
They would know.
Because she lived it every day with her kids.
Absolutely.
I still think we've done, and I'm the first one, you guys. I work a lot, but both my daughters, I have to give them credit. They figured out a way to stay home with their kids, and that I think that is
good
so crucial,
them.
Is if you can not have to work a 40-hour a week job.
Yeah.
And some jobs, you might not get paid for 40 hours, but.
But you still work it.
You work it, or you work 60 hours a week.
Like teaching.
Yeah.
I mean, and that may be part of the lie that's been eased in, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That to get to stop what you said about the children being brought up or hearing that or seeing the example that's set at home is that the worldliness of the lure of everything and wanting materialism and all that stuff that leads to the fact that both, you know, work, you know, I mean, I've heard talk about some of those great big houses that people build and they sit at a card table in lawn chairs because they can't afford furniture inside because they've spent so much
on the house.
It's kind of like when they said, you know, you talked about, you know, clean the outside of the house, but not the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same little bit, the same principle, but that's over generation after generation that that's just been allured or been slipped in. It's another tweak that we've made that took a little bit.
Of what God's plan originally was.
Right, off the deal, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, it would be interesting to know, like in 1980, 1990, or actually after World War II, when a lot of women stayed in the workforce.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
World War II, if Rosie the Riveter came in.
And what happened with, like, drug addiction and children and stuff as more and more moms. Because, I mean, in the traditional American family, dad would be at work. Somebody has to work.
Well, somebody has to work, yeah.
You know, and mom would be home when the kids came home.
Yeah.
And it would be something you look forward to. You do things together. You do things in the evening, in the weekend. Because mom's not too tired to do stuff with her kids.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
It really is. You know, my own mom, she was, I bet all those years we were growing up, there weren't 10 times that mom wasn't home when we got home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was very rare.
Yeah.
And it's, those are things you remember. And you share when things are fresh in your mind, and then you wait for dad to come in, and you eat.
And you eat, you talk.
And you do stuff as a family for the evening, because, yeah, and kids, school was different back then, you guys.
Yeah.
School, we used to have recess and play, and we wouldn't have a bunch of homework in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to know a bunch before you ever started kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
They give you lists now. Have you seen those? It's insane. Do they do that at Remington?
Oh, yeah. Although,
I mean, Maddie's boys could both, I mean, both do a lot before they ever went. I mean, the oldest one is, he's off the charts when they test those kids. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being bright, but I mean, and by reaching that level, then the expectations are set higher and higher and higher and higher, too. So,
yeah.
But those boys play outside a lot, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They're very well-rounded. Yeah.
And they're exposed to the blood. They're exposed to that through you guys.
Yeah.
They,
So, we kind of have a unique situation in that the idea of spiritual warfare, probably to the norm, is something that there is really no fathom about what
right.
it really means. To this family, to our family, we know well.
Yes, you
well
do.
You have
what that is.
Tried the
so,
fire.
And you have that amazing extended family right there.
Yeah.
That's a huge loss for America.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. I mean, you have been very, very blessed with that.
Yes.
I've thought many times, you know, how different my life would have been if I hadn't left Minnesota. And if I had it to do over again, I probably wouldn't. But David would have never been happy. So
you have to
weigh it, you know. It's hard.
It is hard.
But living close to extended family is really important when you have your kids.
It is.
It's super important.
Yeah.
But and then on page 19, she says, the blood avails for all things. It is our protection against everything if we will cry out for it and trust in it. Mm. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm just learning this now. Mm. When I'm 70.
Never too late.
It's not too late, but it's like, what if I'd never come here? What if Shirley had never suggested this book? This is a great book. It's a great, great book.
You know, though, I really believe that, like, we're here, it's because of God's plan.
Absolutely.
He works us to where he wants
right
us to be. Like you talk about, I mean, I believe that he brought our family back in 1969. He moved us to Potwin because he knew that's where we would find our salvation. We're supposed to be here.
And you being here.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, and that happened right after my mom died.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it really did save me, because I would have gone into a bad depression. But I didn't, because I had to keep coming
shocked.
To see all the kooks around here.
You're too shocked.
I was.
I know.
I was.
But
yes,
coming back.
I did.
Now you're the kooky.
You know what? They don't even, when I say something to them, they just like, well, that's just Sue, you know. But
it's so unreal.
We have all our.
That's right. But eventually, I think we have an impact on them. We have
right.
to keep trying, right?
And I think that's why he says you will be accountable for every idle word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd be surprised just the things that you say in passing, or
mm-hmm.
you've talked about, you know, talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Just you're not even thinking about
mm-hmm.
things that you say to some people, but just things you say in passing that later some situation will come up with those folks and he will bring that to mind. Whether
mm-hmm.
they're saved or not, he will bring
right.
that to mind
mm-hmm.
to fit that. And they'll go, that person the other day just, you know, I think it's all in his plan, I guess.
I think so.
Well, you guys, it's the whole story of Jeremiah. I mean, he spent 40 years. He lost, his family tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
All the religious people hated him and tried to kill him. And God said, no, keep preaching. He didn't win one soul until the very end. And I'm thinking, that kind of is where, isn't
mm-hmm.
that kind of our story? Aren't people making fun of us? Aren't
mm-hmm.
our families like to kick us to the curb? I mean, and doesn't most of your populace that listens to you think you're a little bit off? I mean,
yeah.
But God told him, keep on,
mm-hmm.
you follow me, and God took care of him.
And the thing, too, was, I mean, as he was about 17
yeah.
at the time, I mean, so that is
his whole life.
That is a young,
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, that is a young person that hasn't had a lot of experience for anything. And when God told him, he said, you say what I say, and you say exactly what I say, or
yeah.
I'll make you look like a fool in front of everybody. I mean, when it said God reached down and touched his lips, I think the finger of God reached down and touched
mm-hmm.
his lips.
I do
mm-hmm.
too.
And when he said, you say exactly what I say, nothing else. What? And he kept saying
and
it.
He
and
did it.
But,
he
and,
did it.
But for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always
without
talk about, you know, you're either in a valley, you're coming out of a valley, or you're heading into one.
Yep.
He
and
was
I'm
in
always
the valley.
Thinking, good Lord, how long is this valley going to be?
40.
His was 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was 40 years.
And then he went with them in the captivity.
He got tricked.
And
got killed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
but he's a real,
yeah.
real winner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as what we ought to be doing. We don't care. We shouldn't care what people say.
No. But I think
even our family.
I don't care, and I agree with you. I think it does stick with them.
I do too.
Because after being here a couple years, I told my brother Joe. I said, you know what? I'm amazed is at how much more patient, and I don't know if I used the word loving. I think a patience was far enough. But that I am with David.
Yeah.
It really makes. Every day I get up and I think, okay, dear God, please don't let me lose my patience with him today, you know, because he does the most bizarre things. I told you about the pizza box, didn't I?
No.
He had to go to town for something, and I had some guys working at my house, and I said, why don't you just pick up pizza for us?
Yeah.
I didn't really think anything of it. I don't usually give David tasks to do. Okay, because he doesn't
do well.
They're not going to be done quite right. So he walks into the house carrying the pizza box like this. Now, who does that?
It's called smush.
Who does that? And then I was telling when I was in Minnesota, I was telling my niece and nephew about it. And I said, you know, but then when I started thinking about it, I said, I don't think he's ever brought a pizza home in his life. I've never asked him to do it.
Probably never did it.
Because he obviously can't.
I hope he's not listening.
I said, David, that's when he walked in the kitchen, I said, that's not how you carry a pizza box. You know, and I hope.
You know what he's thinking? That's not how you carry
it. But that's how he carried it. But it was like, I and you can't foresee that somebody will do that. And that's why I have to ask God daily for patience. Because
a pizza
in a pizza box carried like a book.
Ed might do that.
Would Ed do that?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I mean, wouldn't just common sense? I don't know. But you can't foresee it and say, now when you get the pizza, carry
make
it flat.
Sure carry
I wouldn't.
It straight.
Yeah.
Make sure it's right side up.
That's right.
Flat upside down.
That would have been better than what we got, though. But you know, I can laugh at it, and that's good.
That's good.
There's a time when I'd have probably taken off his head.
And pick your fights.
Yeah, that's right.
It was still edible,
mm-hmm.
And it's all okay.
And I've laughed about it many times since. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Or I would get more angry at the grocery sucker that puts my pie in on its side. So when you get home, it's all in the, if you buy a button pie.
It's all in one lump.
So,
that person might be related to David.
Right?
There
you go. Maybe he's worth second grocery.
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, God does give it. He gives us grace to get through those weird.
And he laughs.
Yes, he does. And it is funny when you think about it after the fact.
He does. And he laughs with us.
Yeah, that's true. But, okay, let's move on. I really like on page 21 where she's, because I don't think we think about this, and I know modern churches don't. I do not believe we half know the gift Jesus Christ gave us when he gave us this blood.
No, we don't.
And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. He didn't have to do any of that.
I think the satanic side has known the power of
God. Yes, I think so.
Not Jesus' blood, but of blood. And they're trying to mimic and counteract and carbon everything Jesus did. They cannot. Mm-hmm. But that's why the blood is so important to them. They get it. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because at that point, when he shed that blood, it's when Satan thought he had won. And then the realization hit how he had messed up. And I think then that's when all the demons, when they screamed, no, we have really messed.
We
said that they knew,
but
we didn't, those that were coming later didn't, but they knew exactly at
what
that
had
moment
happened.
What how much
especially
they
when
did.
That blood, if you realize, dripped down from the cross, down through the ground, into that cave where that mercy seat was. And it went on the mercy seat as the final
sacrifice.
And perfect sacrifice for us. Then's when the screams from hell came up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And going with what you said, the people who are demon possessed that are all around us,
they know.
They are they picked up the sacrifice,
they did.
And they're sacrificing
and
the children to the devil.
And blood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
their blood.
I mean, it's a thing all through. When you read those this in there,
it's
like
everywhere.
The man with the legion of demons in him, I mean, they knew.
They knew.
They knew who he was when he
so
came
they,
up there. Because a lot
not
of times
our
when
time.
He came in to teach, you know, the first thing he did was he shut their mouths so they couldn't say anything about who he was or anything.
Because they knew him.
I mean, I think that he wanted the people to come to that of their own realization of who he was, because they probably would have believed those demons who he was. But he didn't want that.
Yeah.
He wanted them to believe who he was because of what the word of our testimony, because of what
he said,
not because some demon told him, because they would have actually believed, probably more so if they'd heard it from them than they would have from him.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew.
They did
know. I mean,
know.
The same way when those guys were trying to do all that, you know, and those demons told him, we know Jesus and we know this Paul.
And who are you?
And we beat the snot out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even know
you.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they knew who
they knew.
All hell knows exactly who he is,
what
his purpose is, and they know how the story ends.
Especially when he walked into hell after the cross and he took possession of the world again. They knew.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talked about that either at church.
No.
No one ever told
me. No,
that.
Ever.
No.
I really believe that in the Lutheran church, We were taught that he was in the tomb for 3 days.
Oh, no, no, no.
But that's what we were taught.
I know.
Or they just left it out.
They just didn't even mention
yeah.
it.
That's, yeah. Isn't that the lengths they will go? But the devil has had millennium to figure this out.
It's not any different than he's ever done.
No.
He walked into the garden
mm-hmm.
to do exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, on page 21, and I looked this up on the computer, she says, a major denomination took all the blood songs out of the hymnals, as we talked about it, mm-hmm. with a resultant loss of power. They said the blood frightened the little children. And I looked up on the internet just to see, okay, what churches took the blood, the songs that referred to the blood, and the only one it mentioned... And I'm sure there were other.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, but that might go back, too, to where nobody studies the Old Testament.
They don't. They don't.
And isn't it a treasure?
It is. But, you know, talk about the children. Our young people today watch movies and films of people bathed in other people's blood.
Yes.
But we were scaring them with our songs. It doesn't make sense. It's a movement. It's not about the little children being scared. Mm-mm. Nothing is about that.
It's about keeping the truth out of the church.
Yes, it is. And that was just one of the things, okay, we're going to get that out of there. And
yeah.
We're going to make people quit talking about it. Our pastors aren't going to preach about it anymore.
It's too nasty.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't hear about it in the Lutheran Hogwash. Church. Yeah. You didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't talked about.
Yeah,
and as a young person, I mean, I really thought our pastor, we had a wonderful pastor. And I mean, he was very loving. He spent hours and hours with the youth. But he didn't talk about it with us, and he should have. Well, way back then in 19, because he probably went to the seminary in 1950.
He should have.
He should have. But I don't know. You know, the Lutheran Church has lost their way, too.
Oh, they have. Yeah.
They've truly lost their way. Mm-hmm. So, I don't, you know, and like you said, Linda, from the very beginning, they're not going to stay on the path of the Bible if they're worried about their salary, their retirement, their 401k, their dental insurance, mm-hmm. their vacation days. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason it wasn't like that in the Old Testament. You know? Now, that doesn't mean... I mean, I don't know how you could have a church and have a full-time job, too. Especially like in Ada. But we had like 8 churches in that little town of 2,000 people. Which, that's a lot of churches. But, I mean, they would go to... they would go visit everybody in the hospital. They would go to the home. I mean, they were busy all the time.
Yeah.
Now you
pastors
can't get them
that.
To talk to you.
No.
They don't have time.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they're doing. It's like Jim is going to teach a class now. I think that's awesome. Because he's going to be a wonderful example for his students.
Well, he doesn't know yet.
Oh, he doesn't know yet?
He hasn't heard anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully he gets it. Mm-hmm. If he has time. So. But, okay. What did she say? Few people today even know. Oh, I thought that, you know, and I have to admit, you guys, I've never thought of this, and I don't think I know. But on 21, she said, she says, little children are not frightened by the joyous singing of there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. The next one is the one. But someone is Satan, and she said, I don't know where I read it, but few people today, maybe I looked this up on the internet, but few people today even know what anointed music is. I've never heard, I don't know what anointed music is. I mean, I don't think New Age songs are anointed. But I don't think all the songs in any of the hymnals are necessarily anointed. But so which ones are? I don't know.
The Spirit bears witness to that. You do know.
Maybe I do.
When he sings?
Yes.
You know without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people I try to send a song on every day with mm-hmm. her. But that's the hardest part of my morning is finding the right song. Because some songs I have the right word. No. And it's not about the rhythm or the meter. It's about the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
You do know.
Maybe I do. I just hadn't thought about it before.
You do know.
Blatantly flipping God off mm-hmm. on purpose. They're doing the ultimate no take backs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How does it say it in the Bible where they say, blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It gets them over to a reprobate mind, it says.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if, for he's no respecter of persons, and he died for all,
yeah.
if they sincerely
mm-hmm.
come to the cross,
yeah. if they're not totally human,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying if everything's legit and they sincerely
right.
come and repent,
of course he'd receive them. But
yep.
but my contention is, if they're not totally human, which I think we all are suspect of that from the Genesis 6 saga,
mm-hmm.
then they are not redeemable, and they will not repent because they are not.
Right.
So that's the question we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what we're talking about is
if they're human.
I told before, you know, I said he died for Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
the same as he died for
Nebuchadnezzar,
me or anybody
mm-hmm.
else.
Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah.
And look at that. And
yeah.
and Saul of Tarsus,
yeah.
who became Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm saying, I think we got something else playing here.
Right.
Or maybe they're not
right.
human.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Some of them have already used up their choice
yeah.
of free will.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they know who they're following.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
they
do.
And they sold out to the enemy of our soul.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they are redeemed.
Yeah, that 5-hour video we watched, that's scary stuff.
Yeah.
Or possibly they believe that Satan is
God.
God.
Mm-hmm.
They do believe
that. Well, they know
that,
yeah.
The Masons
mm-hmm.
believe that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why who he wants to be. He's totally convinced them, I guess, that he...
I guess they bought the lie. The
lightning coming down. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
When he was kicked out, like lightning coming down.
And he still looks like an angel, which would look a lot like God. They show you this ugly... Well, you know,
beautiful.
He was the most handsome there was.
Can you imagine his breastplate with all those jewels
and stuff.
And the music that came off the timbrels that he had? Yeah.
And his voice... His cords, his vocal cords were made.
Oh, my gosh.
God made him to
to be.
Yeah, the worship leader
of heaven. Scary stuff.
But it wasn't enough.
Never is. Your heart's not right. It never
is. No, it isn't. And, you know, I don't think that we've done a good job in our society of... People don't ever think they have enough. If you know, you don't need a lot to have enough.
Yeah.
You really don't.
When you have him, you've got enough.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a really neat psalm. King David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that pretty much says it all. That I will never forsake you and I will take care of your children.
Mm-hmm.
What more could we want?
That's right.
That's what King David said.
Mm-hmm.
The righteous. The kick is the righteous.
Right.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
No, that's right.
We are righteous because of the cross.
Of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
The blood.
Not because of anything we do, but
no.
because of the cross.
Yeah.
We are righteous because of.
And the Old Testament believers were righteous because they were looking for that Messiah.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
believing for him.
Yeah.
That made them
mm-hmm.
righteous.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking backwards,
mm-hmm.
but we come together because of him.
I mean, it should have been harder for them than us. They were looking for something they hadn't seen before.
They hadn't seen.
We've seen him, and they still don't believe.
goes human nature. That's mm-hmm. why in the millennium, at the end, there's a final Gog Magog.
And they know.
And they've had Jesus ruling them for 1,000 years. And they still don't believe.
I can't imagine. And that's what she says on the top of page 23. It is the blood in either case which cleanses us and closes the door of the opportunity to the devil.
Yep.
And, you know, it's something our prayer daily and throughout the day closes the door on him. And he knows. I felt like I really experienced a lot of attacks by Satan when I first started coming here.
You did?
I really did. And I kept thinking, what am I doing wrong? You know, why am I, why? I mean, yes, I admit I have these thoughts of killing people, but that's different than these thoughts of God or Satan leading me to say something inappropriate to somebody I love or to people I respect and care about. You know, just attacks or attacks on my faith. It, you know, it's so easy to fall into the idea of, well, is there really a God? Do you ever hear that in your brain?
Oh, that is, when they say that the mind is the playing field of Satan.
It is.
Absolutely. It
is. But, you know, and you learn through Scripture in coming that you can kick him right out.
Absolutely.
Just call on God.
He won't stay.
No, because, and eventually quits. You know.
He may come back tomorrow, but he won't have anything new.
No, he won't.
He'll revamp it mm-hmm. a little bit. It'll be the same old story.
Yep. That's right.
It's all about him.
But you do need to be aware of it. He does attack us.
Yes.
And I think some
people. Jesus said that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he attacked Jesus.
Well, and Paul pleaded with God 3 times to take away whatever it was. And he mm-hmm. said, my grace is sufficient mm-hmm. for you. Because your weakness, I am made strong. Mm-hmm. Okay, God. You must be really strong, because I'm really weak.
He knew with all that Paul had been given, though, and told,
yeah.
that if it wasn't, if he didn't keep him humble,
yeah.
he would, it. He fought trying, he could follow
he
that same trail.
Yes,
yeah,
he could have.
What happened
he
to,
was,
you know,
he was brilliant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He had been given many of the treasures of.
Many gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's true.
I can't wait to meet him. He's on my list.
That's. So
I
she.
I have a long list.
Yes. But she said that basically we do need to begin and end our day with prayer. And, you know, I think a lot of times, yeah. sometimes we need it intermittently during the day.
Oh, all day.
Yes. Because there's so much. Just some of the stuff that you want to read that comes across through Telegram from you all, and it's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And it can really bruise your spirit mm-hmm. because it's very, very sad. I did, now on, why are we Miss Cosley? Oh, she talked about a blood watch. I thought that was interesting. That was in that chapter. But we need to be constantly alert. In chapter 4, I want to get to the part, let me see, what did I write? Looking back, when did you first, and I don't know if you guys are comfortable with this, but this chapter made me reflect on when I first really knew that I wanted Christ to be the center of my life. You know, when you look, because you look back and there, yeah, there's lots of things that happen in your life, but when did you, do you have a time when you just knew that this is the path you want to take? If any of you want to share, I can start. I think my confirmation that I had, I would put it on an equal footing that, you know, a teenager, I was 13, and the baptism that Jim did for David and I.
Oh, yeah. That
you know, that, I really did, after that baptism, I felt like a different human being. I asked David.
We baptized them in our pool.
Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have, I had infant baptism. And you know, obviously you don't remember it, you know. And so that we wanted to do that. But it was a few days afterwards and I began to realize that I really felt different through my whole body. And I asked David if he did. I didn't ask him right away because I knew it would take him a while to figure it out. I mean, it would, because men process things slower. You guys, I have to tell him stuff a year out. And then I tell him, like, every month and then every week and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for Thursday. But I don't think he got what I was talking about. But maybe it's a hard thing to, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
But I don't think he did. And maybe because of, I mean, his mom was, she was a devout Christian. There's no doubt in my mind she's in heaven.
She's the one that set before.
Yes,
years.
Yeah. But she wrote.
Oh, yeah.
And she composed music. One of the songs that my niece sang at my dad's funeral, she had written and set to music. She was a wonderful musician. But she did sit for 45 years. I think that was the beginning. You think I'm terrible, don't you, Travis?
No, I don't. No.
But, you know, it's better to understand these things than to not understand them, because you get along better then.
You do.
You really do. I mean, my dad was much more simple. I mean, in that he always had a goal, you know, and I think maybe that's a farmer thing, or like the feedlot. You know, you have to cycle those cattle through, and you have to do this and that. And but a lot of people don't have that kind of structure in their life, so they don't have to move at a certain pace. But that's when I knew, after that baptism, I knew that there was nothing more important. And since that time, you just keep learning and learning and learning. And it keeps you where you want to be, which it's not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but because I'm not. But that's right.
But
you
step above David.
No, you know, David is very learned in the Bible. You can't believe what the man knows. But he sat down and watched thousands of hours of YouTubes and videos on the Bible, and which I can't do that. I can't sit down that long. But anybody else want to share when they knew?
I got saved early, but that is really where God woke me up, because someone was talking about, like, this and this, this and that, and I was like, what? I was so confused, and I was like, I gotta look this up, and I was like, okay, God, I really need to know my Bible, because these people talk you up one side and down the other, and
they
like,
know theirs.
They do.
You're like, whoa. But pray for me. I do all this study, and I still have yet to witness to a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, but you witnessed when you were what, 10? That's awesome.
The bad thing about Jehovah's Witnesses is they will run from you, and you will never be able to talk to them again.
Mm-hmm.
They will. I have a lot of them in my life, but they will shun me. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but that's it. They're done. If you reveal too much, they literally cut you off. You're done.
But you put the seed in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to do it right without chasing them away.
Mm-hmm.
So
but they might have to run for a while and process it.
That's true.
And they may come back.
You have to stop being scared.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's going to happen. Because, you know, I'm like, what if I fail? And, you know.
We all fail. We do. Yeah. But you just keep trying. And you're going to... You're young. You've got lots of time to improve your technique.
That's true.
Right?
Be bold, right?
That's right.
That's what I love about Linda. She's like, well, did you ask her about the God on her shoulder? I'm like, well, I didn't think of that.
That's right. Wow. What did you guys think about chapter 5?
Loved it.
what do you think about her? Should we call it a theory?
You're going to learn it when we study Genesis.
So she's right on the spot?
This is the gap theory.
I know that, but...
Absolutely.
I didn't...
Right
I just
on.
Never knew that the gap theory... Does the gap theory say that's when the angels fell?
This is Chuck.
This is it.
This is it.
Wow.
I loved it.
Wow.
Now, this will be controversial.
Yes, it is.
Because the gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 could be millions of years. Mm-hmm. When people ask me, do you believe in old earth or the new earth? I say yes. And they look at you, well, which is it? I believe this earth is millions of years old, mm-hmm. but I believe man has been on earth for 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you like, are you kooky? No.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's exactly when Satan fell. The only thing that makes sense. Look, guys, we are scientists in our hearts. If someone tells me, and I'm scientist enough that if I know there's ways to prove the age of things, and if they tell me it's several million years old and there were dinosaurs, then I would be such a fool to say, no, the Bible says that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. So if you're a fool to argue with something that's a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
We know there are dinosaurs. There was a full life one that they found out in western Kansas, out around Hayes. The bones, well, what is that saying there's no dinosaur? Christians got to be real careful with that because you look like a fool.
And that's why that when you said the 6,000, I read that somewhere, I can't remember. But that's how many years, that from
man.
That time, that's Satan knows he's got 6,000 years.
That's right.
That's all he's got.
Yep.
So I'm not sure how far down the line that 6,000 is, but that's it. When that 6,000th day is here, then my guess is that's the same time when if there's two people that's supposed to be saved from the number that God already says is going to be saved, when those two get saved on that 6,000th day, it's done.
It's done. It's done. I loved this. I thought.
Yeah, it was eye-opening.
And when we study Genesis, you're going to get, you don't have to believe it, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody research for yourself. When else did Satan fall? Why else would we have the Bahuka Tofu or whatever that's called? I mean, Isaiah talks about, Jeremiah talks about, Ezekiel. They talk about the cities that were destroyed. And this is before God created Adam and Eve. When was that? Oh, that was the millions of years when Satan ruled the earth. Because he got thrown down.
Mm-hmm.
And God did not create anything null and void. It became that way after Satan lost his place in heaven and came to earth. And then he pretty much destroyed it too. He's a destroyer.
Yes, he is.
I love it. This is what I believe. People like LaDoyne, they'll get real offended by this. I'm not saying that man's millions of years old. That's not what I'm
saying. Is that what they get? Is that the part they get offended about?
Yes, because they think that I'm promoting evolution. That's not what
no.
I'm saying. Actually, by believing this, you discount
evolution. Evolution, yes.
Because you've got humongous animals and humongous things happening. So there's no, it starts from itty bitty and goes to big. That's what evolution is. This is the total opposite. We had big creatures roaming, and God destroyed them and then takes it back to just man starting again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the opposite of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best proponent for against evolution there is.
Mm-hmm.
The total opposite of it. Yeah, now this is the gap theory. Now you don't have to believe it. Then I want you to explain to me the fossil records that they've got that they can prove is several million years old. Prove that. And discount that and say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. No, prove that to me. And then tell me how where do we put the dinosaurs in there? We know they weren't in existence probably at the time of Noah. Maybe smaller, you know. You've seen the Gila monsters and things like that look kind of creepy and issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the humongous things weren't then. When were they? We know they are. We have bones of them.
Yes,
Let's don't be stupid. Don't act like we can act like a fool so that the world won't even listen to us. Let's have a reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say to you, do you believe in the new earth or the old earth? And then you say yes.
yes, I believe in the old earth, and I believe in the new earth because that's when God created man. Yes, I do. Yes, all of that. I don't think that's Antichrist, and I don't think it's anti-Bible because when we do Genesis, we're going to pick that apart.
It explains the Bible.
It explains the Bible.
It
explains the earth. Mm-hmm. So you don't look like a fool to the world. It's actually the total disclaimer for evolution. It is.
There is no way evolution had anything to do with God's creation.
Nothing.
There is no way.
That's so odd. No. What do you think?
When
you read this?
I absolutely believe it because it makes so much sense.
It's perfect.
And because those Bible verses don't mesh.
That's right.
They are contradictory.
But yet they're not.
And, well, we know that every word is true.
And Jesus
said, so you need to figure out why they're true.
Satan fall like lightning.
Yep.
So where did he fall to? Mm-hmm. He's the Lord of this earth. Mm-hmm. We know that from other passages.
Yes, we do.
What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, what this says for us.
Yeah. She did a real good skeleton
explanation
of the gap theory. And I went, oh, yeah.
Well, let's review the chapter 5 for next time.
Okay.
When we have everybody here, hopefully.
Okay, talk about it.
And then read the next 3 chapters. Again, they're not very long. Mm-hmm. 6, 7, and 8. And that'll take us through the circle of the blood. How does that sound?
Perfect.
I just love this book. I really do. It makes me think about things that maybe I knew a little bit enough. But not knew a little bit about, but not enough.
It sharpens your weapons.
Yeah, it does. And it's common. It's not out there.
No.
It's right. It's in the Word of God, and she's just taken it and put it.
This is the one I gave to my knee doctor.
Good for you.
This is how you pray.
I think I gave this book to Marcy to read, my friend who had to go lay down.
What did she say?
You know, I told her. When I gave it to her, I said, Marcy, I want you to read this book, and then when you're done, I want you to call me, and I'll come over and talk about it. Because it's hard for her to get around, so I have to go to her house. Somehow she got that book back to me through somebody.
And didn't call you.
She didn't call me. You guys, there's a difference between some of the old-timers we have now and the old-timers we had back then. You know, does that make sense? Marcy has gone to the conventional church all her life, and she's in her late 80s. And she doesn't want to learn anything new.
Yeah, she didn't want to break that paradigm.
And I believe she's saved. I truly do. She loves God. She is a true woman of the Bible, but only the parts she's heard over and over and over again.
The hard truths are hard.
They are hard.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's within our free will also.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doesn't want to go as far
deep.
As
we are.
Yeah, I mean, really and truly.
I know.
And
this
it's not.
We are an uncomfortable group because we are pressing the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some people are just,
mm-hmm.
they're comfortable where they are,
mm-hmm.
and they have no desire,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go any farther. And if they don't want to, then I feel like that's their choice,
mm-hmm.
that's where they should be, you know, just like we want to be wild.
We
want to
know it
be,
all.
It's the same way when it talks about people's faith, and each person has a certain level of faith.
Yeah.
And each is given that amount of faith for what they can handle. It's the same way, and I never looked at it that way when he talks about when he gave the talents. I mean, I think God knew, but when he knew beforehand, in other words, the one that they gave 5, 4, and then the one beforehand, what their capability, they knew exactly that the one that got the 5, what they were going to do with that one, and the one that got the 1, what they were going to do with that one. So that's what they gives enough. I mean, those things are handed out knowing fully well what they're going to do with
mm-hmm.
it, what's going to result from that, how that's all going to fit within their personality, I guess, or how they're made. So, so I think some people, you know, and it says you won't be given more than you can handle. Some people, that's just all they can handle.
Right.
So that's what you get. I mean, a lot of times people think about that when they talk about hardship and stuff like that, but I don't think that all has to do with that. I think that can be good, too. Sometimes you only get so much good because, I mean, because the more you get, the more is required.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it is true.
You know, and some people can't handle a lot, mm-hmm. whether that's bad news or good news.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that's all you're given.
I do think this is what Chuck Missler talks about, though, when he says the problem is today's pastors.
It is.
And I do think...
It is.
There's a part of me that thinks that they're going to... You know, I'm not saying they're not going to heaven, but I think they're going to pay a price for it.
Oh, I do.
For not sharing the whole truth. Because...
Yeah, it says you'll be more responsible.
Yes.
And you fall into that group, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I hate to tell you that.
Those
that are teachers.
I actually know that.
Fall into more responsibility.
Do you know how scary that is?
Yeah.
I mean, that I really have. I believe the truth of it is there are a lot of people that are smart,
mm-hmm.
that study, a lot smarter than me, have a lot more years of this, but they are afraid. They're not going to step out and put their neck on the line. And I told God when He called me this, He said, "My neck's on the line, but it's your neck." So. If you want to break this neck off, I'm with you. I mean, I make a lot of mistakes, but I have served a really big God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's better to make a mistake trying.
Well, that's been
than
all
to not
time.
Try.
Yeah, than to stand before God and He
mm-hmm.
said, "I gave you the time,
mm-hmm.
I gave you the brain, I gave you the equipment." I mean, now I can look anything I want. I don't have to go
mm-hmm.
to a library. I can look it online.
Yeah.
I can get Greek, Hebrew, everything I want at a fingertip. He gave me all this, and He gave me the time to do it. And then I say, "No, but I'm afraid." How does that wash?
Well, everybody too that teaches is not called to teach.
True.
And will be to them. I mean.
And I keep hoping that I am.
Oh, well, you are.
But you know
you
are. You
are. You know.
Well.
You are.
I'm fifth grade.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Sound enough to know that this is a gift and that God, that you want to serve the Lord and you know this
well,
is
true.
A place that He has put you
mm-hmm.
to do it.
It is, and I will tell you this, when you're called, it's never what you think. Because like, if you'd have called me to, you know, like teach Bible school to fifth graders, I would have thought, yes, that's what I do. This is another story where you step out and go, yeah, but the adults don't like what I say. You know, they don't like the hard truth. They don't like me telling them that the Bible says it, because they don't. We know for a fact your friend was
mm-hmm.
so shaken she had to go late.
Yeah, but like
that was another thing it talked about on the survey I told about. It said that that's one guy said that the churches need to quit teaching kids Bible stories and
yes.
start teaching the Bible.
The Bible. The true Bible.
The Bible and how it is
life
relatable.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to a sad milestone in our history when we think that the Bible is not relevant today.
Absolutely.
That is that's
education at 101.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to shut this off.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I hope you guys all got picked up. I didn't dare mess with the microphone.
It doesn't matter. It's what it's going to be.
Okay.
I'm going to put it up just like that.
And it's the red button to stop it?
No, the big what? Look. The big... Just,
oh, the big
just,
bar.
Just push down on it.
Okay.
Does it stop?
I don't know. It's still moving.
Probably some of what you were saying while we were